I'm Brad Locke.
I'm Gene Phelps.
I'm Blake Morgan, and this is Prep Rally,
a podcast covering high school sports in Northeast Mississippi. Hey, everybody. Welcome into a new episode of Prep Rally, a high school sports podcast brought to you by the Daily Journal and DJournal.com. Talking high school sports in Northeast Mississippi, coming to you every Wednesday. I'm your host, Brad Locke, joined usually by Gene Phelps and Blake Morgan. Only have Blake with us today because he and Gene have been busy as bees down there in Jackson covering the state tournament, currently wrapping up the semifinal round today as we're talking. Gene is actually covering a game, I believe, or finishing up a game story, I know, on Boonville. So just going to be me and Blake, but Blake, you've seen most of what's been happening down there. How much you been having some fun?
Oh, yeah. Tons of fun. A lot of work.
Yeah, believe me, I know. It is a lot of work, especially when you have so many teams down there. We'll get to that later about just the strong representation that Northeast Mississippi has had in Jackson. Of course, if you're not familiar, haven't been keeping up with the format these days, you have the quarterfinal rounds is when they start playing in Jackson now, at Jackson State and at the Mississippi Coliseum, and then they move everybody to the Coliseum for the semifinals. And the finals, the semis, began on Monday, and Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and then which is today, and then Thursday, Friday, Saturday will be the championship rounds. And Blake, let's just start with the big story of the week, certainly as far as we're concerned up here. Calvin Harris. I think we've all seen the video. You were there in person and got to see it, which I don't think I've ever seen anything like that in person at a game I was covering, at least not at least not when the stakes were that high, Blake. The semifinal game, in case you happened to be living under a rock on Tuesday, that semifinal game in 2A with Baldwin and West Tallahatchee. Baldwin's down two with 2 seconds left. They inbound it to Calvin Harris, one of their better players. Catches it, spins, shoots from beyond half court, and he swished it, Blake, and it was pandemonium, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah, they stormed him pretty quickly and almost, you know, ran over the press row.
I saw that.
That was set up during the mob. It was something just spectacular to watch. The stakes that high to put your team in the finals to hit I wrote in the story a mid-court shot. It was really like, you know, a few feet behind mid-court.
Yeah, it was.
Just to absolutely drain it was, you just couldn't believe it. And, you know, we were talking on Press Row that when they walked out of the huddle, which, by the way, West Tallahatchee, they were down by one with, like, 10 seconds left, and their guy takes a three, which we just couldn't believe, because, I mean, it seemed like such a dumb shot, because all you needed was a two, but he made it.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, you know, Goolsby called the timeout for Baldwin. The clock had run off because there's no stoppage when
right.
a shot's made in high school basketball.
Right.
But Goolsby called a timeout. He was saying that he had 3 seconds, but the referee said he only had two. And so they drew up the play where Calvin Harris was going to run down the middle of the floor and catch the ball about at midcourt and turn. And I believe the play was either look at Felix Hayes. I believe it would have been Felix Hayes for a pass, or he takes a shot if he has it. And he took it, and he made it. You know, everyone that you talk to, you know, I was talking with all the Baldwin people. They were saying, you know, he practices that every game.
Yeah.
Every day.
Right.
Every day, every practice. He's just putting up shots. You know, never thought he'd be using that in a game, but when it came time for it, he was ready.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, and he looked like he'd been practicing it. It wasn't one that just, it didn't really look like a desperation heave like you think of it typically. I mean, he had good form. He stepped into the shot. It wasn't one of those one-handed deals where you rear back and throw it like a football. I mean, that's a long shot, but I mean, he put it, he just, it almost looked like a regular jump shot, Blake.
Yeah, Yeah, that's kind of the amazing thing. Yeah, like it looked like it was a jump set, you know, like a set jump shot. Yeah, you know, that's a really great point. You know, I mean, his mechanics wouldn't have been that different had he been at the 3-point line as opposed to behind midcourt.
Yeah, exactly. That's one thing I really noticed his mechanics were just pretty much perfect. And, you know, they have to be from that distance. And he swished it. And you mentioned, you know, they drew up a play. And he had the option to pass. Because there was right at 2 seconds on the clock, right? I don't know if it was 2 points something.
No, it was 2 seconds flat. So, right. It was either when he caught it, and he would have either had to turn and immediately pass it, and then it would have been a desperation heave, whoever he passed to.
Right.
Yeah, he catches and flings it.
Right. Yeah, and that's the thing. You have time for a pass or a dribble, and then you got to get a shot up quickly. And what he did, I mean, he had time to, like you said, not have to rush it too much. Caught it, put it up, and nobody was really in his face. But you know, I'm sure the other coach, West Tallahatchie coach, was like, don't foul them from 3-point range. Just, you know, maybe get a hand up, but you don't want to risk anything again because, you know, 95% of the time or more, that shot doesn't go down.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I thought it was an interesting move. They had Baldwin had Michael Crump on the baseline throwing the ball in.
Yeah.
And they took a guy off the baseline to guard him, which, you know, if you've ever seen people talk about the Christian Laettner shot
in
March Madness.
Right.
You know, Pitino always said he wishes he had someone guarding Grant Hill on the throw-in. Because you can't just let him see the whole court. And that was my first thought, was when West Tallahatchie, the coach, waved him off of Michael Crump. I was like, Crump's able to run the baseline here. He's going to be able to see the whole court, and of course he did.
Yeah.
And was able to find Harris. And I'm sure I would have loved to talk to the West Tallahatchie coach, but for anyone that's wondering, you know, you're kind of on your own for interviews. You have to go find everyone. After talking with Baldwin and everyone, there was really no way for me to get to the West Tallahatchie head coach, I'm sure he would have been happy with the way his guys at least defended Harris, because I mean, you don't want to risk that foul shot.
Exactly.
I'm sure if the West Tallahatchie coach, you know, would have said, hey, if Harris had that shot 100 times, he'd maybe make one. And he just made the one that counted.
I don't know. He may make a few more the way, like you said, he practices it all the time.
Yeah,
that's true. So, by the way, there was some good video there captured by the WCBI guys, Jonathan Filippo and Robbie Donahoe. In fact, it went viral. I saw Sports Illustrated tweeted it out. I don't know if it ever made Sports Center. But that was definitely a top 10 worthy play right there by Calvin Harris. So Baldwin moves on to the final on Friday. They'll take on Cahoma County, Blake. We know anything yet about – had a chance to do your homework yet on Cahoma County?
Yeah, they beat who we talked about last week, was who we thought was the 2A boys' likely favorite in Okolona.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
Yeah, so, you know, Cahoma County, I was able to watch a little bit of that. I was right in the Baldwin game and getting – all my information for that while the Cahoma Okolona game was going on.
Yeah.
But Cahoma County is tall, and they are athletic.
Yeah.
And
much like Okolona.
Much like Okolona, and they do not give up. And to kind of speak to that, they're down by 15 or so.
Yeah.
In the fourth quarter, I think the number was 14. They were down to Okolona by 14 in the fourth quarter, and came back.
Yeah.
They just don't give up, and it's gonna be tough for Baldwin to win. I think a key to that game will likely be how well Baldwin can protect the rim. They're not very tall. Harris and Hayes are the two kind of tall guys in the middle, and they're listed at like 6'3 and 6'4, I think, but they're really just 6'2.
Yeah.
Cahoma County is much taller, but in fairness, pretty much every game Baldwin has played, especially the meaningful game, they have been smaller, but they have protected the rim really well.
Yeah.
And if they can continue to do that, and if they can play offense with a purpose, like, you know, make smart passes, I think they have a good shot at being Kahoma.
Well, that game will be played again on Friday at 3 p.m., Baldwin against Kahoma County. Let's look at a girls' matchup. This is going to involve two area teams in 4A in the championship, Ripley and Lafayette. That's going to go off on Thursday at 6 p.m. These teams are, I mean, these are division foes, Blake. In fact, Ripley beat a division foe by Haley in the semifinals, so now it gets to take on another team, Lafayette, that it has lost to twice in the regular season. And, of course, as we know, Lafayette has been really good all year long. Blake, should be a good one.
Yeah, I'm expecting a really good one. You know, talking to some local Oxford people, you know, they're saying, well, I'm expecting Lafayette to come out and win by 15. Now, I'm like, I don't know, because this Ripley team, I don't quite know what happened, but they started to click. You know, in the second round, they beat Pontotoc, who had beat them earlier in the year. They just beat Byhalia, like you mentioned, and they lost by 22, 24 points earlier in the year to Byhalia. And if you just watched that semifinal game, you would not believe that Byhalia ever would have beaten Ripley by that much. So they're just really playing solid basketball. They're led by Deja Rogan, who is their point guard and best perimeter defender. She's an absolute monster out there. But yeah, I mean, I would say going in, Lafayette's probably the favorite, but Ripley's probably been an underdog since the second round of the playoffs and just keeps finding a way to win. They play really tight defense, and they just make enough shots when they need to win the game.
Yeah, well, they're going to need to definitely play better than they did the first two times against Lafayette. They lost those games by scores of 69-31 and 57-38. So neither of those games were close against Lafayette. But, you know, again, this is it's a different setting. They're obviously playing as better than they have all year. And so kind of throw out those scores here when Lafayette and Ripley meet for the 4A title there on a Thursday. Let's talk about some games that happened early Wednesday in 3A girls games. We lost a couple teams there, Blake. New Site and Boonville, we thought we might have an all-area matchup in the final. They both lost. New Site losing to Choctaw Central, which is they're in the mix pretty much every year. 55-40 was the final Wednesday morning. And then after that, it was Boonville against Amanda Elzey. Boonville, of course, is the reigning 3A state champ. They lost in overtime, 64-63. So, tough loss there for Boonville. Brings to a close the career of Dallas Young. I think she had 29 points, Blake. And it just goes to show you just how tough 3A is, not just in North Mississippi, but the whole state.
Oh, just unbelievably tough. I covered the New Site game, and I missed the Boonville game because I had to take care of some room issues that I'm sure people aren't worried about hearing, but yeah, I mean, that went into overtime. I talked with Byron Sparks, the New Site head coach, and Choctaw Central, they're just, Gene and I, you know, we talked about it before the game, they're just methodical. They know what they want to do, and if they don't like their look, they'll just bring it right back and, you know, just keep going through it until they find the shot that they like, and then they're going to hit it. And they just really play tough defense. And it's hard to score on them, and that's what Byron Sparks said was, you know, it was tough to get going. Especially when you play up and down at their pace, which their Choctaw Central is really good at dictating the pace. It's hard to play against them like that. And so New Site fell. It wasn't that close, but New Site kept fighting. And then, yeah, Boonville, I mean, what a rough way to go in overtime. I know Michael Smith, he's been tinkering with the lineup all year. You know, they were hurt earlier in the year, and then I talked to him. It might have been it was their senior night, I believe. I was there on their senior night, and he was saying, you know, we started the year hurt, and finally when we started playing well, we got all those players back, and we started playing poorly again because we just weren't used to playing together as a team. So they really struggled to kind of get cohesion, and they were learning on the fly.
Yeah.
And almost put it together to make it back to the finals, but just came up a little short.
Looking at another defending state champ that's still alive, and 1A boys, Ashland, and they play. We had in the semifinals on Monday, we had a nice little all-area matchup between Ashland and Holka. I thought it might be a closer game. You got Medarius Hobson there at Holka. You can light it up. But Ashland has DeAnthony Tipler and some other guys, that, and they've got a good inside-outside balance there, I guess. Blake and Ashland won going away. The final there was 91-64, Ashland. And they will play Shaw in the final in the championship, and that is set for Thursday at 3 p.m. So, Ashland, Blake, looks like they're primed to take home another gold ball, aren't they?
Oh, absolutely. That Shaw game should be good. But the thing about Ashland, and it's been true with them all year, and, you know, this is my first year covering them, but I talked to a few people, and they said it's been true for the last 3 years or so, is they, a lot of times they come into the game and they just look disinterested and out of it.
Yeah.
And, you know, they'll flip the switch, you know, and it might be until the fourth quarter and they flip the switch, but they finally will, and they'll win the game. But against Holka, they came out in a fury and just beat the brakes off of Holka.
Yeah.
I have the box score right here. They're up 22-14 against Holka after the first quarter. And then the next quarter, the second quarter, Ashland won 24-9.
Wow.
So it was done. I talked to Holka's head coach, Jimmy Guy McDonald. And, you know, he's been coaching about as long as Gene's been covering sports. So, you know, he's seen it all.
Yeah.
And, you know, McDonald says, like, anyway, Blake, we ran into a buzzsaw. You know, there was nothing to be done. We just ran into a buzzsaw. You know, you just can't win those kinds of games. And yeah, so if Ashland comes out with that kind of purpose again against Shaw, I would say don't even play the game. But it'll be interesting to see how they come out.
Yeah.
Raleigh Tipler, Ashland's head coach, was his first year. Shaw put them out in the second round.
Right.
The next year, Shaw put them out in the semifinals, and Shaw won both those years. Last year, Shaw got out, was knocked out before Ashland got to play them. Ashland won it all. So this is Ashland and Shaw won the last three 1A boys titles, and obviously will win the fourth. Won this year, but so Raleigh Tipler, he's out for blood. He's ready for some he's ready for some revenge on Shaw. So we'll see how motivated that they come out. If they come out with a purpose, game's over.
Yeah, 3 p.m. on Thursday, Ashland and Shaw for the 1A boys title. West Point's girls, let's talk about them real quick. They kind of snuck up on me, and maybe they snuck up on other people too, Blake. They're playing for their first state title. They've never won a state championship in girls basketball. They've won plenty in football. That's what that school is known for. But going for the title Friday against Neshoba Central, they got there by beating Ridgeland on Tuesday, 56-52, Blake. So I guess maybe this is kind of our Cinderella story for this tournament.
No, it absolutely 100% is. I was talking with Gene, and, you know, he was saying how this turned into one of our better stories.
Yeah.
West Point coming out of nowhere, and like you said, I mean, they're a football powerhouse, and to be doing so well in women's basketball is just kind of unprecedented.
Yeah, I've never known them to be that good in girls basketball.
No, not at all. And so they, you know, they're going to have a tough one against the Service Central. They're a really good team. And they caught some lucky breaks against Ridgeland, who just kind of got cold down the stretch. West Point, you know, they're going to need a little bit more Cinderella magic to come through at the very end, but it's carried them this far, so,
yeah,
you know, let's just one more game.
Exactly. So West Point, again, against Neshoba Central for the 5A girls title Friday. That game set to tip off at 6 o'clock. Let's look real quick at just kind of touch on some teams that got eliminated, some tough losses, Blake, by area teams. Ripley's boys, despite Dwayne Cox having a good game, lost. You had Oklahoma's boys, we mentioned them earlier, and they really seemed to be peaking. I mean, they were good all season, but they dropped 100 on a couple of people in the postseason. And then, of course, as we mentioned, they lost on Tuesday. Oxford's boys lost with Jarkel Joyner, Blake, you know, getting to Jackson, one of the best players in the state, but they fell short. And Shannon's boys, they made a nice little run, but C.J. Brim and company couldn't quite get it done. So, I mean, we had some really good teams that could very easily still be in it that are not, Blake.
Yeah, all really good teams and all heartbreaking losses. Like,
yeah,
oh,
I know.
My gosh. Let's just start with Ripley. Man, that was... They did a great job of containing Dwayne Cox, but in the fourth quarter, you know, he just kind of went off. He scored 12 of their 14 in the fourth to keep them alive, and
yeah,
you know, had them right there at the very end. Just couldn't pull through. It was Leak was just they were just better. You know, it's just kind of the way it is. Ripley, if they had one more kid to kind of compliment Cox, they would probably win all 4A.
Yeah.
Adam Kirk is a fantastic coach. Had him right there at the precipice. They just missed a few shots. They just came up a few shots short that and easy shots too. They just missed a few layups that kind of altered the game.
Yeah.
For Oklahoma, we touched on it earlier. They had a 14-point lead in the fourth quarter and kind of blew it. Their MO all year has been, push the pace, you know, score 100. You know, even though the coach said, you know, that's not our goal. And you said the players get caught up in that. You know, that's not, like, what I'm going out there trying to do. But, yeah, I mean, they just want to score a lot of points. They want to score fast.
Yeah.
And with this lead, you know, there's no shot clock in Mississippi. They should have just drawn the ball out, held the ball, milked the clock. But they just, I don't know, couldn't do it, didn't want to do it. It reminded me of a pass-happy offense, spread offense in college football that gets a lead and all of a sudden, like, is forced to, like, either run the football, which they're not comfortable doing, or keep passing, but the quarterback keeps missing.
Yeah.
And that's kind of, like, what they did. You know, they started missing layups, and so, what, you know, do they have to try to milk the clock, or do they keep trying to make layups?
Yeah.
They kept trying to make layups, so they kept missing them.
Gotta make layups.
Shannon, that was devastating. C.J. Brim missed... he missed two free throws, I think, in the entire game. He had, like, 9 or 12 attempts or something. He only missed two, and they were two in the fourth. And one of them would have tied the game that he missed. He had a fantastic game. And then Jarkel, he was 0 of 6 from 3 in the first half. He was 2 of 9 to finish the game. He was absolutely amazing.
Yeah,
but Laurel just runs through guys, and they're usually 15 deep. To kind of speak to how good Oxford is, they only played 9 guys.
Yeah,
and so Laurel really limited their rotation, which was still a lot more than Oxford.
Yeah.
Who only played really 6 guys.
I got you. Well, you know, overall, as I mentioned at the top of the show, Northeast Mississippi is really. Represented itself strongly in this tournament. We had 22 teams from the coverage area to reach the quarterfinals, and that's when the play began in Jackson last week. 16 of those teams reached the semifinals. That's 8 girls and 8 boys. Now we've got several playing for state titles, Blake. So I know this is your first year to cover basketball here for the Journal. And I guess I would say that probably this postseason has kind of confirmed what you suspected in the regular season, that basketball is pretty good around here.
Oh, yeah, really good. Really, really good, especially at the smaller school level.
Oh, yeah.
Northeast Mississippi, we're better than the South in basketball. I mean, it's just kind of a fact. It was impressive to see just Northeast Mississippi team after Northeast Mississippi team just kind of tear through the quarterfinals. Oklahoma won a game by like 50. Baldwin was up by 30 at halftime. Ingemar's walking into another state title. It's been impressive to watch them so far.
Yeah, I mean, you mentioned the small school strength. I mean, all in the Class 1A and 2A boys and girls. Yeah, all of those involve area teams. Pine Grove's girls in 1A, Ashland's boys in 1A, and in 2A, Ingemar's girls trying to repeat, and Baldwin there in 2A boys. So, yeah, the Hill Country basketball, I think, is as strong as it's ever been. I know we're running a little bit long, so let's wrap things up. Blake, with the Athletes of the Week, we do this every week, recognizing a male and female athlete for their accomplishments in their particular sport. So let's start with the female athlete.
Female athlete of the week. I mentioned her earlier, Deja Rogan. She had 18 points, 8 rebounds, and 3 steals in the win over Byhalia the other day. She is feisty. She is one of the smallest players on the court, yet will be one of the highest rebounders. She gets up into the other team's offensive players and knocks them off their game. She's the real deal, and if Lafayette's going to get a scare put in them, it's going to be by Deja Rogan.
Right, indeed. A great player, Deja Rogan of Ripley. And the male athlete of the week?
Who else but Calvin Harris at Baldwin?
That was easy. That was an easy one.
As the leading scorer for Baldwin. He hit 2 threes to open the game, and Jake Thompson at the Oxford Eagle leans over to me and is like, wow, so that guy's pretty good at shooting threes. And I'm like, he hardly ever shoots them. And I talked to Goolsby after the game, and he said, I usually give him 1 3 a game. And he took 5 and made 3 of them, 2 at the beginning, and then, of course, the one that
the big one,
sent
him
into the finals. So he had a great shooting performance, 15 points for Calvin Harris, including the game winner, which he will probably remember for the rest of his life.
Oh, yeah, that's something to tell the kids and the the grandkids as well. So congrats to Calvin Harris as well, Male Athlete of the Week. And that's it for this episode of Prep Rally. I want to remind you to follow us on Twitter at DJournalPreps, and also follow Blake and Gene. You can follow Blake at BlakeMorganDJ. Gene is at Gene Phelps. They're continually updating what's going on there in Jackson at the state tournament and everything else related to prep sports here in Northeast Mississippi. You can listen to this show a variety of ways, of course. We're in iTunes. We're in any of your podcast apps. Also at preprally.djournal.com. So that's it for this episode of Prep Rally. We'll be back next Wednesday. For Blake Morgan, I'm Brad Locke. We'll see you next time.